Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring?
Keep pouring, my friend.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the whole wide world, welcome to another edition here of The Last Drop. I'm your godfather of whiskey. I'm JB. You're going to hear me doing this tapping thing a lot because just got a new... kind of like a new desk mat, I guess, whatever. It lights up, but it's kind of stiff. It's a gaming one, too. But either way, whatever. It looks really nice, but stiff as shit or whatever. Which I guess is supposed to... Shut up, iPad. Which I suppose is supposed to be the thing here. Running solo today. Cody had some stuff to do, and I got some stuff to do. And we couldn't make a time to meet up today or whatever, so I got some stuff I got to do within another hour. Run some errands or whatnot or whatever, because guess what, people? 2 days off fucking sucks. Don't give you a fucking enough time to do a goddamn thing. And, you know, by the time the weekend ends or whatever, Sundays, usually you just, like, plotting whatever work shit you got to do. And it's like, ugh. So, but that's not what we're here to talk about. We don't come on, well, that's a lie. I come on this show to bitch about a lot of things. Almost as if this is like my therapy, to be honest. This is where I get to rant, rave, and talk shit about things that go on in everyday life. Mainly, it's that time of season again. Taxes. Now, I will not complain as much this year. I will not. Because it's safe to say, after 7 years of doing this show, six in a few months, but it's coming up on seven, that pothole has finally been fixed. I must have finally made enough money to where I'm giving them so much in taxes. They said, you know what? Let's throw this JB guy a bone here. Let's fill this fucking pothole. When I saw them working on that pothole, a fucking tear fell from my eye. And I was reaching out to the window and it's almost like you could just reach it, but you couldn't touch it. And it was like, oh, oh God. Most people, most men we fantasize about a delicious meal, like, you know, what kind of steak I'm having for dinner tonight, hot woman, you know, what, I'm gonna throw you fucking iPad in a minute, you're about to get thrown, hot woman maybe, a fast car, actually I was gonna say a big house, but men, we don't really give a fuck about stuff like that or whatever, we'll sleep in a cardboard box if we could. Me? I'm a simple man for the simple things in life. I see a pothole getting filled on my street and I fucking erupt in joyness. So much in joyness that I feel like it's especially time to open up a special bottle I received for a good friend. I feel like I'm talking about this place every week, and that is the Wellsborn. I met someone there. This was before Christmas, actually. Sarah. Shout out to Sarah. Sarah. And she hooked me up with a bottle. I will get into a little bit of details because I do some little house cleaning here. Like I said, I'm running solo today. But we're back. It is Black History Month here. It's the month of February now. I was one of the ones that used to say, we don't need Black History Month. Just because I always thought our history was definitive. But that was probably me underestimating all the fuckheads out there. And I was like, well, if we're not going to integrate that history with American history, I guess we just need to keep our own month in. So that was me being young and naive, thinking that we can still make some strides and changes. I don't know what the hell I was thinking, but it is Black History Month, and this show is owned and ran by a black owner, which is yours truly, and the co-host on here, who just so happens to be black, and Yoon, who sometimes make appearances, who you would probably mistake as black, but you know, and my sister as well, who sometimes make appearances on here, you would definitely make appearances that they might be both black. So I wanted to give a shout out to the special month here on Black History Month in 2026. We are doing our regular theme schedule here. Because as I said last week, kind of, not too many themed months going on this year. Even we're not even doing Champagne Month for our anniversary, our 7-year anniversary. We're just going to keep it at, I'm going to call it the anniversary edition, obviously, because it's always called that. But just bring whatever bottle you think is worthy of celebrating for an anniversary, you know? We're going to have my regular whiskey, Cody's craft beer, unless he decides to change that because all the acidic levels in the beer. Then tequila, then the mix and match week. I don't think there's a fifth week in April. I don't think so. I think that's March. But I got to double check the calendar there. So we're just going to do it that way. We just came on the fly with what we're doing for March. That's next month now, people. So the next March, we're going to show some love out to El Tesoro over there at Suntory. Because we're constantly talking about it, and we just don't drink it that much here on the show. Like I said, I think the most we reviewed it on this show was those barrel picks we had from K&L. Shout out to K&L. And Court. Shout out to Court. Outside of that, we have not talked about it. And we both love El Tesoro. Every time we've had it, it's been solid, delicious. So now we're just going to dedicate a month to it. Are we going to do the simple Blanco, Repo, Añejo? No, probably not. I know what I'm doing. I think me and Cody kind of discussed what we're doing, and I think he's on board, so we're probably doing the same thing. I don't want to say which bottles yet, but they are some special bottles. So, and then we have Añejo month, which I believe is May. We're doing that, as I call it, regular ass Añejo month. And then July, we're doing extra Añejo. So outside of those three, those are really the specialty months that we have so far. I was thinking of doing a Lost Lore month. But I feel like we've shown enough I shouldn't say shown enough, because you can never show too much love. We showed a lot of love to Lost Lore last year, and I was just like, if they do get their own month, it'll be towards the end of the year or so like that. But the runs right now, I was like, they got enough love. You'll get some reviews from them, obviously, because they have really good quality shit, and a lot of stuff just dropped. What is this that keeps popping up? Sign into your iCloud. I don't want to. Fuck off. With that said, now, let's get into this bottle now. Now, I cannot pronounce this. I will not even try. Actually, I will try, because fucking up words is a specialty. It is a talent that only I, your Godfather Whiskey, can produce. And this is also, I want to say a little bit of history, too, as well, because when I first started this show, I used to mix and match it up, like, pretty much regularly. I had a lot of scotch, I had a lot of bourbon, I had a lot of regular whiskey itself, American whiskey, Irish whiskey, Japanese whiskey. Clearly, you guys know my love of Cavalon. I did a whole show about it for a whole year, where I called it Talking Cavalon, where I would just talk about Cavalon. You know, I was just talking about Cavalon, drinking some Cavalon. I got a lot of bottles of Cavalon, so I was like, you know, open these bottles up and try it. I did it for a whole year. So I stayed in the single malt room. So I did a little bit of everything. I want to say around maybe 2023-ish. Maybe 24, probably more so. Because I think 20... I got to look it up. But maybe 2022, 23 was when I was doing Talking Cavalon. Anyway, I've kind of gotten away from that. I've been doing a lot of bourbon. A lot of bourbon, then a lot of cognacs, then a lot of tequila. I threw in some rye in there too as well, because I didn't do those at all, to be honest, when I first started this show. So now I started doing way more rye as well too. But I wanted to kick off the year with the first alcoholic bottle. I got a scotch here, and I got it from my friend Sarah, who happened to be at the Wellsbourne. We were sipping it up with a few good friends of ours. I had just met Sarah that night. Funny enough, we're not even that far from each other, so how we've never seen each other before, it blows my fucking mind. But Sarah gave me this bottle, and it is the 1933 Macleod's? Go with that. Highland Single Malt Scotch Whiskey, 12-year-old sherry cask finish, finished in hand-picked sherry oak cask from Cadiz, Spain, for character and complexity. Now, when I go to the Wellsbourne and we do Cavalon, we always talk about that sherry cask, mainly like the Pedro Ximenez and the Oloroso sherry cask, because we tend to get a lot of I would say some little bit of Madeira too as well, but we tend to always get the Oloroso and the Pedro Jimenez. So she brought this as a gift. I was like, oh, this looks beautiful. And it still looks beautiful. I love the box design. A little simplistic, but it's got class to it. It's got a lot of character to it. That red and white really just pops out as like a scotch bottle. So I haven't done a scotch on this show in quite some time. Pulling it out of the bottle, or the box, I should say. It comes in a nice box. Looked it up. You can find this bottle, depending on where, ranging from $50 all the way to $66. So just depending on where you go. I personally think that's really well priced. 12-year-old scotch should cost that. I remember McAllen used to be cheaper than that back in the day. Back when I actually drank it and actually enjoyed a little bit of it. I wouldn't be shocked if it cost more. Matter of fact, I guess I could look it up right now, to be honest. Let's go ahead and look that bad boy up. McAllen 12. Let's see. Huh. The 12-year-old double cast is only $41. Okay, so it hasn't, that part hasn't gone up. But the 12, okay, see. What's the proof on this? It's a 700 milliliters. So it's 80. 80. So this, they have a McAllen 12-year-old Sherry Oak, 110 proof. That's $114. That's fucking crazy. And then they have a Sherry Oak cask, McAllen 12, which is $82. I think this is why I stopped drinking McAllen. I don't think the price is ridiculous. They got too many fucking variants. The 12-year-old single malt double cask is $70. Yeah, $70. You can find that at Total Wine or whatever. So depending on what you're looking at, this shit ranges from $41 all the way up to $114, give or take. Let's go ahead and open this bad boy. I like the label on here, too. Late presentation is beautiful. I give the presentation like a 3.5 or whatever. Oh, dear. It's one of those bottles we're going to have trouble with trying to open ours. It's all pushed in there, and we're just going to struggle. And there we go. I just don't have the nails for this. But I do have the vigor to rip some shit. And I love tearing shit up. And that has a nice pop sound. And that smells quite heavenly, I must say. Get a little copita. A little copita action here with the people know. I find myself to be a little classy, you know. Somewhat, at least when I drink. So I have to use the Copita glasses when drinking. Now, I was saying I was going to do the dry January even outside of the show. Yeah, I fucked that up completely once I went to the Wellsborn. Remember, I didn't drink for about 18 days into January. And once I went to the Wellsborn, that probably changed. I had like 4 drinks there. But I will say, after that night, I didn't drink anything else. So day 17 or day 18 was, this smells really nice. Now, I'm not one of these. Now, people wonder why, oh, you're a bourbon guy because you always drink bourbon. So I'm actually not one of these bourbon is better than scotch or scotch is better than bourbon. I really don't give a fuck, to be honest. I say whiskey's whiskey. And I don't mean that to say that they're all the same. I mean to say that there's a little bit of something in everything for everyone. So when I hear those comments, I just go like, yeah, whatever. The only reason why I kind of stopped buying scotch is because I always felt like, unless it was a barrel pick, once you had it, it was like, I pretty much had it. Now I see no need to buy this again. Whereas in bourbon, every year, you know, barrels change and stuff like that. They create new batches, whatever, maybe add a little something. So I always just kind of gravitated to buying that more. Where, like, once I've had the Glenmorangie Signet, which, funny enough, I just threw away an empty bottle yesterday, I see no reason to buy that again. Not to mention because the price went up, whatever, but it's like I had it before. It's great. So, oh, the nose, man. First of all, you got that kind of like amber color. Not so, it got a little bit of darkness in there, but it's super like amberish. It's not too dark, not too light. It's right in the middle. Man, you know the first thing that came to my head when I sniffed this outside the sherry was like, it's got like this this tea essence in there. There's a little bit of tea in there. And the tea and orange zest. Kind of like you take an orange peel and just dipped it into your tea or something like that. There's definitely like some... It has like a little bit of roundness to it as well. It's very lively. Very fucking lively. It's there. Oh, man. There's like this toffee note in there, too. Not so much chocolate or caramel or anything like that. But, yeah, like a toffee type. Okay, like, yeah, I could even see, like, I said orange peel or whatever. But, like, maybe we're more of a lemon peel with, like, a... or like, the orange peel with, like, a squirt of, like, the lemon into the tea. Something like that. Smells really nice. The aroma, I have no beefs or quarrels with that. And yes, I do know a lot of folks that say bourbon is boring, and I know a lot of folks that say scotch is boring. So I like to be that middle ground of, I do a podcast about drinking, and my section of the podcast is whiskey. I call myself the godfather of whiskey. So therefore, I kind of got to drink every little bit of whiskey. So this year, I'm not hoping. I already put my schedule together. I will be doing a little bit more. I'll be getting back into the Japanese whiskey and the Taiwanese. I'm going to do some bourbon mashups, if you will, that was like created by Scotch people. I would say I do more Scotch, but I don't. That's a lie. I do have a Scotch bottle. As you can see, I just don't buy it anymore. But, and most of the stuff I buy is like, mostly the allocated shit. Mostly it's the allocated shit, because it's like, oh, I can't pass that deal up. So, you know, it's usually the allocated shit or like the really well-known bourbons and stuff. I don't really go far off into the, smaller distillers and stuff like that. Usually because that shit costs too fucking much and I just not spending the money. Unless I've tried it, I'm not spending the money on it. Now, Fourgate, I got to try that. Fourgate is a little bit smaller, not too small, it's pretty large still, but smaller than my normal purchases from the Buffalo Trace and Michter's and the Willets and stuff like that. But I got to try that, and I thought that was amazing, but that damn bottle was like $160 or whatever, so it was like, that's kind of crazy. That shit don't even come in a box, doesn't come in any kind of packaging, but it's really fucking delicious, and it's aged in some crazy amount of barrels, so I got to try this. So that's my reasoning behind that. I'm going to go ahead and get into the sip of this bad boy now. That tea flavor is right there on the finish. Oh, shit. Oh, that's got a little warmingness right there. Oh, I feel that going down the throat. Like, it's kind of... It's that Highland region of a single malt scotch and stuff going on right there. Ooh. It's not like smoky. It's kind of like a mild toast. It's not so much that it's mild. It's just the way it works down the throat. It's like starts off very subtle. And yet you feel it all the way through down the esophagus, down the throat area right there. But also, too, I get more berry notes on that palate as well, too, on the flavor profile here. That was not coming up on the nose at all. I didn't get any berries. It's more like lemon orange zestiness to it, if you will. But on there, So like where that toffee, it comes off as more like a pudding note now. Hold on, let me get another sip of this. Yeah, dark berries at that. Dark berries, very, very, it's like dry berries too, like a dried apricot too as well. There's a little bit of that on there, and you really get a feel more for that on the finish than you do on the palate. The palate is more of that berries, the finish is more of that dry Highland type feel, because on the palate area, you're getting like this pudding toffee note going on here with a little bit of like dried fruit flavors, like dried dark berries and dried like apricot going on. There was a little hint of spice too on that first sip or whatever. I'm kind of not getting that anymore. I feel like it tingles just a little bit on the back end of your throat right there, but it doesn't stick around long. It kind of just, it's not as spicy as it originally was on that first sip. Very complex pour, though. A lot of things going on in here. I remember when a 12-year-old used to be king in scotch. I don't know what the king is in scotch now, because I see like a lot of non-age statement bottles these days or whatever, so. Especially Glenmorangie. Glenmorangie fucking lost me. It's the same like with Redbreast. Tales of Ice Cream, Tales of the Forest, Tales of Assassin's Creed Woods and shit like that, Tales of these little ass ponds, Tale of this shit. It reminds me of Booker's now. It's kind of annoying. Booker's got so many batches talking about the Phantom Zone and shit like that. It's just like, just make a fucking small batch and single barrel, please. Maybe a granny's batch here and there, whatever it may be, but I don't need to hear all these tales of the Crypt Keeper shit story. So finish is medium length. Now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, that first sip, it did linger longer than I thought. I thought it was going to stick like that, but it hasn't really since then. Maybe it's just because your throat just got used to it now. But, it's nice and warm. Doesn't linger, though, like it did that first sip. That first sip was like, ooh, shit, we're doing something special there. You know what? I take that back. I feel it now again. Yeah, I feel it again. Okay. I feel like maybe that's where a little bit of the spice is hitting too. Because it is that back end of the throat, but I feel it down the throat. But it's like so subtle. It's so hidden back there because of that warmth sensation, because it's so warming back there. Very good, though. I love how that does that. Even that is very subtle, too. You kind of got to shut the fuck up and think about it, because I'm over here rambling on and talking and stuff, and I'm just even kind of forgetting the moment as it is. But once I sipped it and hushed up, Man. Yeah, I like this. I like this a lot. That sherry cask comes in, too, as well. I'm getting that more on the midway of the palate there. But when I'm, like I said, shutting up or whatever, I'm just thinking about it, I could even taste it in the finish as well, too. That sherry cask. I love a good sherry cask. I know some people in whiskey, they don't like finished whiskey. I love me a good Oloroso or Pedro Jimenez or a Madeira cask type feeling. I love it. I love a toasted barrel. Trying to think whatever finishes that they could have. So far, I'm a fan of... you know what? No, I take that back. There's a Amberana. I'm not a fan of that finish in whiskey. It tastes like dog shit. I can only repeat that so many times. I know Cody is not hearing this right now because he was so blown away by that Lost Lore Amberana cast, but I'm going to keep repeating that. It tastes like shit in whiskey. At least the two or three... I forgot how many I had now. The two or three that I tried, honestly... that bottle should have made my worst of list. I just didn't get to review it in time to talk about it. But had I gotten to talk about it that year, that would have made my worst of list, because that was probably the worst thing I tried at that bottle share. That Amberana wood just did not brighten or freshen those notes up at all. It made it dry, just completely boring as shit, dude. So I do not like that in my whiskey. I'm sure there's some other finished whiskey I don't like. I just can't think of it right now. But when it comes to the sherry, and I don't care if it's Pedro Madeira or Oloroso or just plain old sherry oak, I'm for it. I'll try it out easily. I'm not saying that they're all winners, because I've had some bad ones, but I'll definitely try it. Give it a chance. Sherry has proved enough to me to go ahead and try some things. And this one's coming off really well. I really like this. It's not blowing me away. And I think the most part that would blow me away literally is that finish, because I love that warming sensation. But I will say, I see why I kind of forgot about it. It doesn't linger as long the more I sit here. Like, it's in that instance of brief quietness, and then after that, it kind of just do, kind of fades away a little bit. So that kind of keeps it from being a little bit more special there. Besides that, though, the fruit notes on here, or the flavor profile, whatever, I think it's very unique, very creative, got a lot of complexity going on there. It's been a minute, too, since I've had some dry notes on a whiskey that I actually enjoyed. So I want to say there was something recently where I talked shit about it, where I didn't like that dryness to it. Maybe it was a tequila, but I just did not. I remember not liking it dry, and I wish I could remember what it was or whatever. But, yeah, wasn't a fan. And this one, I actually think this helps it. And like I said, it's 80 proof, too, so you know what, though? I think you should have cranked it up a little bit. It probably would have kept that spice a little longer going on there. And I'm not even saying go a whole full proof on it like that McAllen, what was it, 110 proof? I think maybe like a 90, 95 maybe, whatever, 95, 95 proof. I would have shot this up by like 10 more points, whatever, just to keep that heat going for it, that little spice character there. Because maybe that would have made that warming finish just last a little bit longer. Right now it's at medium length, but I think a little bit more heat on this could have propelled that into the next atmosphere. That actually would have propelled my rating up too a lot more. What have I been going on? 26 minutes? Yeah, I think I've talked enough now. I rambled long enough now. And I just finished my glass. Yeah. I'm a fan. I don't know if they have any more, because I've never seen this scotch before, so I look at the scotch aisle, but I always look at the brands I'm familiar with, like the Glenmorangies, the Dalmore, Highland Park, Glendronic, even though they released those three finished non-age statement bottles that I just kind of shook my head at. I was like, don't do that. those look like shit. I'm sorry. I was just like, one of them was a port finish, too. I was just like, don't do that. Don't do that. I have Glendronic. I like Glendronic. I did not see that tasting good with a port finish. I'm just like, yeah. And I'm not willing to pay it to try it neither. I think it's like $100 for each bottle. So I was like, yeah, I don't want to do that. No. Maybe on this show I'll do it, though. That's the whole point of this show, is to reach out and try stuff you never had. But I don't know if they have, like, after this, a 14 or 15 year or whatever it may be. I'm willing to give those a try, though. This actually piqued my interest a little bit more. Really good. Thank you so much again, Sarah. This will be sitting on my desk here when I'm working. This will be like an everyday pour for me or whatever, because this is actually really solid. So what does that say? EO. Distilled and matured and bottled in Scotland. Gotcha. Established 1933. This shit is older than about six versions of me then. So that's how old this shit is. You know what? Yeah, it tastes like a 12-year-old. I would say it tastes like between a 10 and 12-year-old. So yeah, I was going to say if it tastes younger than it pours, or a little bit older or mature. Nah, it tastes like a 10, 12-year-old. So yeah, I'll give it that too. You know what? The coloring in this bottle is actually beautiful too as well. Really well, great shape there. I will say though, kind of reminds me of a McAllen bottle. Now, I know there's some scotches out there way older than McAllen, whatever shit, but it kind of does. Got this little emblem in the middle of the bottle and everything like that. Whatever. Maybe one day I will get back to reviewing McAllen bottles again. Maybe one day. But, you know, my theory on McAllen has been, you know, fuck McAllen because of their pricing and stuff like that. But nonetheless, I'm going to give that a 3. Dropping a 3 on that, which is pretty high praise, per se. I was even up there at, like, 3.5-ish. Shit, to damn near, I could even say, I could see myself sipping, if I poured another glass, I could even see myself convincing myself to go last drop on it. But 3.5 at the most, whatever I was thinking. It's just that spice kind of just wasn't noticeable enough there to, like, add on. And that lingering on the finish, although it may be warming, it kind of just fades into the background to where you don't. And I love a thing that fades in the background, but this one fades so much into the background to where you don't even notice it anymore. So I would like it to be still noticed as I drink it, or as I not even drink it, to be honest. And that is the flaw I saw in this. But a 3, other nonetheless, still good, because I think it's very complex still, too. And it's offering a lot going on for there. And it's like in the 50 to I think I said 50 earlier, right? $50 to $66 range. So, yeah, the price is right. You're getting a 12-year-old scotch. 1933, apparently, this company, the distiller, was found. But that is the MacLeod's. Shout out to the Wellsborn. Shout out to Sarah. Wellsborn is always coming through with some bangers on here. The first bottle, though, I've gotten from the Wellsborn that is not a last drop, because those Cavalons last year were not only last drops, they made my top 10 list. Those things were phenomenal. And I cannot wait for March to roll around so I can talk about that El Tesoro bottle there, because that thing, I know for a fact, is phenomenal. So, can't wait. But good stuff here from MacLeod's. Maybe I'll try some stuff from them going forward as well. But all right, folks, we're going to get out of here. I'm tired now. I got shit to go do, whatever, but I'm already tired. I wore myself out, whatever. So, with that said, I am your godfather of whiskey. I'm JB. And like we always say, livers will never be the same, because glasses will never be dry.